Please turn to Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. You can take that marker out of the book of Ephesians now. We're done. Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus comes from the Hebrew word Joshua, or in Hebrew, Yeshua, and it means Jehovah is salvation. He came to save his people from their sins. His name declares his person. Jesus Christ. Christ. In Hebrew, Mashiach. The long-awaited one. The one promised, the Messiah. Many people in the West, they think that's his first name and his last name, Jesus Christ. You look it up in a phone book and that's the way you find it. Christ with the letter J. His name has the meaning of salvation, of redemption. Christ, the Messiah, declares his position. Jesus declares his person. The title Christ, Mashiach, the Messiah, declares his position, that he would deliver his people from their enemies. Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation, Christ the Messiah. He will deliver his people from their enemies. It goes on to say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a man who is no ordinary man. Mark is writing about a man who is God in the flesh. John 1. Verse 1, all cults, they always try to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. That's one thing all cults have in common, a lessening of who Christ is. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Son of God is God in the flesh. In John 1, look down at verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus declares his person. Christ declares his position. The Son of God declares the power of Jesus Christ. Christ, all authority, all power is found in Christ. Christ is all. Christ is everything. Mark begins by lifting up Christ. Look at Mark 1, verses 2 and 3. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Make his paths straight. Mark is writing about the man who was sent to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. In ancient times, kings often sent people ahead of them to prepare the way for the coming. The forerunner had two duties. The ones that would go before the king had two duties. He was to clear the road. It was to be an open road. There was not to be any potholes, any rocks, any boulders, anybody laying in the way, any animals. There was to be nothing in the way when the king came. John the Baptist is the one that was sent to clear the road. A forerunner would let the people know that the king was coming. The king was coming in the day of John. And in our day, or in future generations, the king is returning once again. And this time he's not coming on a donkey. He's coming in all of his glory to judge this world. These two duties John the Baptist fulfilled in regard to Jesus Christ, thus fulfilling two Old Testament prophecies as we're going through the Gospel of Mark. You will start digging into the Old Testament. You will start developing a Hebrew mindset. What was going on with the people? This was the Mashiach, the one promised. Turn to Isaiah. He was the long-awaited one. They had waited, the Jewish people, for thousands of years for the coming of the Mashiach. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Here's the prophecy that Mark is speaking of. Isaiah 43, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For our God. Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. Prepare the way, a highway for our God. Isaiah 750 years before this takes place, predicted the Messiah was coming, the Mashiach was coming, and that this was God, a highway for our God. Turn to Malachi 3, verse 1, the last book in the Old Testament. And then there was silence for hundreds of years at the end of the Old Testament. But the Lord had left the Jewish people with a hope. As the Old Testament ends, Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And even as he came 2,000 years ago to his temple, the king is coming once again. And where do you find yourself today? Are you prepared for the day that the king will come suddenly? Will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming. Behold, Jesus Christ is one that people take on their lips and use it as a curse word. This same Christ is coming again. The king. You're to prepare the way for the king. John appealed to the people directly, calling on them to repent. Calling on the people to repent because the Lord, the King, was coming. And the King is coming once again. And the call is the same 2,000 years later. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The message hasn't changed. The messages have certainly changed. But the message hasn't changed. John came preaching in a time of dead orthodoxy, even as we have in the Church of Jesus Christ today, dead orthodoxy. Which one? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had the gear on. They were all dressed up and said long prayers on street corners. And they punched their clock and they put their time in. And John comes on the scene in the midst of dead orthodoxy, of ritualism, and of legalism. Christ told the religious people, you care more about the traditions of your mothers and your fathers and your aunts and your uncles than me. And it's the same today. Why are you what you are today? Is it a dead orthodoxy? Is it a ritualism? Is it legalism? John the Baptist came preaching the truth. And at the end, he got his head chopped off. People were either today never challenged regarding their sins or they're beaten down with legalism. It's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. No difference whatsoever. Teachers, preachers, our mandate is the same as it was with John the Baptist. We're to open our mouths, preach the word boldly that Jesus Christ is coming again. When Christ comes on that white horse, you're going to be cursing those preachers that tickled your ears and rubbed your toes. Turn to 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Rebuke, exhort. It's just the opposite today. It's just the opposite today. John told men to repent. Our brother standing down outside of the Super Bowl crying out for people to repent. Same message as John the Baptist brought. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. These people claim to be Christians 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. There's never any change in their life. Is that repentance? Is that a regenerated person? Is that somebody born again? Repentance means resulting in the remission of sins, forgiveness, or pardon of sins as though they had never happened. That's the result of repentance. True repentance and belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women today, we're to stop with weak and anemic preaching and teaching. We got to stop stroking egos, tickling ears, building empires with large crowds. Do you not understand? People are tickling your ears and rubbing your toesies because they want to build big empires and make a whole lot of money. What I'm saying to you is repent and believe. The John the Baptist in the land, they're cursed today. They're excluded from. But are you excluded from the kingdom of Almighty God? Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. We were in 2 Timothy 4, look at verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People are not going to endure it. You can see the temptation for a preacher. People are not going to endure it. They will not endure sound doctrine. It's like doctrine is out the window now. Why do you think I spent a year in the book of Ephesians? When you teach expositionally, you can't get around the tough doctrines. People don't preach expositionally because they want to cherry pick all the nice stuff to tickle your ears and rub your toesies. That's why they do what they do. They want to be liked. They want to be loved. They won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will turn their ears away from the truth. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to walk out the door, go down the block, go a mile from here, go to another state, go to another country. They will not endure sound doctrine. The message that you hear today in pulpits, are you willing to lay down your life for it? Does it mean that much to you? Mark 1:4 tells us that John preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And considering I'm in a Baptist church, notice it does not mean that people who were being baptized to have their sins forgiven. They were being baptized because their sins had been forgiven. That's why Baptists practice baptism the way that they practice it. Why we don't believe in infant baptism. That wasn't a long line of little babies going up to John the Baptist to get baptized. They were people, they heard the message, grown-ups, teenagers, adults, old people. They heard the message, repent and believe. And they came forward and they were baptized declaring, I have died with Christ. And now I'm risen with Christ. Mark 1:5. Look how God honored the preaching of John the Baptist. Mark 1, verse 5. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins, that's what repentance is. Not only confessing your sins, but forsaking your sins. Many people today, well, repentance means you change your mind. Yeah, you do change your mind, and then you change your actions. Because your actions always betray your beliefs. God honored the preaching of John. All the land. You see what that says? I mean, you can make the argument that, you know, that's a little hyperbole. But it still says, then all the land of Judea went out. All the land were all baptized, confessing their sin. What an outpouring of the mercy of God. Yes. And we pray for revival all the time here. Yes. What are we praying for? That the Lord would pour out his mercy again. This country, the West, is just absolutely drunk on pleasure. Whatever your pleasure may be. Fill in the blank. You're probably thinking of it right now. We are absolutely between in deluged in pleasure, dead orthodoxy, ritualism, and legalism. And I got to say this. Just as in that day, not all the religious folk would be happy to hear the message. Matthew 3, verses 5 through 9. When the word of God is preached in all of its glory, it absolutely kills Pharisees and scribes and legalists and ritualists. Matthew 3, verses 5 through 9. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But, now notice, this is John the Baptist. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now you got to admit that ain't exactly tickling ears or rubbing toesies. You can just see them. They have all the gear on. They got the nice hats on, nice clothes. They got the phylacteries on. They got the curls going. And today we have the same thing all throughout Protestantism and Catholicism. People in Protestantism, they're hustling the people with holy water, holy oil, holy rags. They mail me this, send me a couple thousand. The Lord got a blessing for you. Over in Rome, they're molesting kids. They're pedophiles all throughout the world. And it's like nobody's saying nothing because we want to appease everybody. You have to appease the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we have to be, appease. I got to stand before Christ. So Matthew goes on in verse 8. After he calls them brood of vipers. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Heard my brother talk about that this morning, about bearing fruit. Bear fruit of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God's able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. The Jewish people thought they were saved because they were Jewish. Baptists believe they're saved because they're Baptists. Methodists. Catholics. Presbyterians. You fill in the blank. You're not saved because you were born a certain way. My father was this. My mother was this. My brother was this. You are saved by Christ and Christ alone. It's the same today. You preach repentance, you're old-fashioned, you're out of step, you're not cool, you're not relevant, your message doesn't make me feel good. I know that right now. I know there's people saying in their hearts right now, dude, shut up. Stop yelling at me. What do you think John the Baptist was doing out in there? How are you all doing today? Is everything fine? Did everyone have a lovely week ahead of them? Is everybody ready for the Super Bowl tonight? What caused him to get his head locked off? Mark 1:6. Look at John's manner of life. Now this, you got to admit, is diametrically opposed. The Learjets flying around and $500 suits and Mercedes Benzes and mansions and gold. And I heard the guy say, you know, Christ didn't get those clothes off that rack on the side. That wasn't a discount sale. He was at the designer section. Well, look at Brother John, Mark 1:6. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. He didn't exactly have on the suit. He didn't exactly have the beautiful foods. He certainly didn't do the demographics that says, hey, John, you know, there ain't no people out here in the wilderness. Everything that you could possibly do against church growth is what John was doing. He's out in the desert. He's wearing camel's clothes. He's eating locusts. And he's calling people your brood of vipers. I tell you, I read church growth books. That's not in any of them. It's not there. Not at all. John's manner of life was this. He didn't gravitate towards the finer things in life. He knew he had a short time on this world, in this world, that he was living every minute of his life for the glory of God. He wasn't pursuing all the things of this world. He was pursuing the glory of God. John's clothing was as rough as his message was. He shunned the fine foods of the palace, and he favored the foods of the desert dwellers. In other words, John was a balanced man. John was satisfied with the basics of life. Whatever God had provided for him, he was all right with that. And the question was, are you all right with that? Are you satisfied? Or is there always more? That's what's behind all these congregations. Bigger, 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 more, more, more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Gotta get, got. You gotta preach the word of God.
Amen.
And reflect the glory of Jesus Christ in your life. That's what you gotta do. John came to the people with the same spirit of confrontation as Elijah. Same spirit as Elijah. He came preaching with power. There's no power in the pulpit today because there's no dunamis, there's no power, there's no dynamite. He's not preaching the word of God. Cherry picking, feel good stuff. Here's a question for you. How would you react if John the Baptist was going to preach today? Bill Posse dropped dead, we got to fill in John the Baptist. How would you react if he stood here today? Would you be as the Pharisees and the scribes? He came with a strong message. He was out of step with his times. But God was with him. You better ask yourself one question about a preacher. Is God with him? Does that man walk with God? Not because of some facade he puts on. Anybody can play a game for an hour, though. You want to know about him, talk to his wife and his kids. They'll tell you all about him. John teaches us the truth that we're not to fit in with this world. Unfortunately, today the church tries to just be like the world. Why do you think all the young guys got the skinny jeans on and they're inked up and stuff? They got the tattoos and the hairdos and everything. They're trying to be as worldly as they possibly can. Some churches, the guy is just bordering on curse words. He's trying to be hip, cool, relevant. It's all planned out. There's a reason why people do what they do today. It's not by chance. Trying to be as worldly as you can. We have to be separate from this world, brothers and sisters. What does Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 say? Brothers, I beseech you by the tender mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the call for every one of us. For every one of us. Mark 1, verses 7 and 8, gives us the content of John's message. He tells the people that compared to Jesus Christ, he's a nobody. Look at verse 7. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who's mightier than I am, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. You see the content of John's message? He's saying, I'm a nobody. And you will never be somebody until you realize you are nobody. You live in an age, everybody's somebody. It's like, give everybody a trophy. Don't offend nobody. That kid is still running there. He still didn't get home yet. Give him a trophy. What about self-esteem? You got to make people feel good. And here's John saying, I'm not even worthy to loose his sandals. That's the content of John's message. John magnified Jesus Christ. I come in this pulpit to magnify Jesus Christ. He knew that if people could just see Christ, if you could just see Christ, then you would really see yourself as you really are. Outside of Christ, you would see yourself as you really are. That all your works are as filthy rags outside of Christ. That there's none good, there's none righteous, there's none seek after God. All of us have gone out of the way, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's your true condition outside of Christ. John knew if you could just see Christ. For Christ is all. That's the message that people need today. I hate to tell you, if you sat under somebody and he told you this is your story, that's his story. History means his story. That's your story. I hear that all the time. What's your story? I don't care what your story is. Tell me about his story. Verse 8 tells us that when Jesus came, he would do a spiritual work in the hearts of the people. Notice, John says, I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be in your life. Are you known for love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and long-suffering and self-control? Is that what you are known for? That's the fruit of the Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit because you say, Kawasaki Suzuki, here I come again. That doesn't make you a Spirit-filled person. That makes you a person that speaks in syllables. Are you Spirit-filled? Has Christ baptized you in the Spirit? And everybody that has come to Christ is baptized into his Spirit. And then you are filled moment by moment as you rely on him. John was taken and placed him in the water as a symbol of their repentance. Our sister I baptized, she was saying, listen, I confess my sins, I repent of my sins, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a symbol of what took place in her life. And Christ said he was going to take them and he was going to wash their sins away in his blood and give them new life and baptize them into the Spirit. Listen, John the Baptist was not calling them to religion. The people and God had had enough of that. And the question is, have you had enough of that? Did you see that your dead orthodoxy, your ritualism, your legalism didn't change your life one bit? If anything, it might have made you twice a child of hell as you was before. The people had had enough and God had had enough. John was pointing them to Jesus as Lord and Savior, who could save their souls, forgive them their sins, and change their lives. And the message is no different 2,000 years later. John preached a simple message about a wonderful Savior named Jesus Christ, the Mashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. Yeshua, Jesus, HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Christ. The question is, has the Lord spoken to you through this message? Do you sense the need to come to Jesus Christ today? Do you feel the weight of your sin pressing down on you? Is something telling you you are damned? You are damned to hell for all eternity if you do not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's been the message from day one. It hasn't changed. Do you sense the need to come home? Maybe you've walked away from Christ. You got on the off ramp. Well, get back on the highway. John said he prepared the way of the Lord. You got off on the ramp? Grace and mercy says, get back on the ramp. Confess your sins, forsake them. Maybe you've heard the seductive call of the modern churches. I would tell you, as Jeremiah said, return to the old paths. Not that I like the preacher, but does he speak the truth? I don't like it the way he delivers. He sounds too New Yorkish. He dances around. He talks like Jackie Mason. It doesn't matter. What matters is the message. As Dr. Boyce said one time to a woman on the airplane, she said, I don't like it. What you're saying to me, I hate it. And he said to her, but is it the truth? And I would leave you with that today. Is it the truth? And Father, I would pray that you do a mighty work here at Redeemer. I pray, Father, for those that want the old paths, that you would bring them in. I would pray for those, Father, that have fallen away, but have come to their senses, even as the prodigal son. Said, I'm tired of this pig pen. I'm going home to my father. Well, know that your father's waiting there. Not only waiting, He's running out towards you. He's letting you hear it right now. Come on home. And if you never come to Jesus Christ, I would warn you and admonish you that the King is coming. That people that haven't changed the message, they're still clearing the pathway and making the announcement. King Jesus is coming. If you never repented and believed, I would urge you and admonish you to do that today. And Father, we'd ask your blessing upon us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.